And we are live at the Flat Mountain Brewhouse Coaches Show here with head coach Jennifer Barrett at Flat Mountain. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
And we are here with one of the best players from Holcomb. Has over 1,000 career kills. An excellent season she's had. And tell us a little bit about how you managed to get that special achievement.
Well, it took a lot of hard work, especially during practice. You know, I couldn't have done it without my teammates. Just really like focusing in during games, and with the coach by my side telling me what's open, really helped a lot.
And have you found yourself getting more attention from the other teams, knowing that you have 1,000 kills and they try to really shut you down and use all their team's energy towards that goal?
Yes, for sure.
And coach, what's it been like having a player have 1,000 kills on the season or on the career?
We knew coming into the season she had a shot at it. She's had 3 seasons prior where she's been very successful on the front row for us. She started as a freshman on the right side and then transitioned out to the left side these past 3 years. And that's kind of a goal we had talked about before season started, something she wanted to kind of try and reach and strive for. And like she said, Nicole's just a hard worker. She comes in, she gets after it every day. She tries to make adjustments when we're in game situations really well. If she happens to get blocked, she'll say, you know, where do I need to go or what's open? She just is a kid that continues to go after it and try and learn the game, and I think that's what's allowed her to reach this milestone that very, very few players get to reach and get to have that opportunity. So a lot of it has to do with her dedication and her commitment to learning the game and just her work ethic.
And Nicole, how big was it for you to reach that goal of getting to 1,000 kills? How big was that for you to get there?
It was unbelievable just having that home game where we celebrated it, and just seeing all the fans stand up for me just really meant a lot. And it just meant a lot.
Besides that, what is your favorite part of this season? Your team's doing really well. What is your favorite part in this season?
The connections that our team has. A lot of us, or the majority of us, are all seniors, so we've really been around with each other for a long time. And I think that this season has made us even closer, and I'm blessed.
And how big is it? I know some of you have played 3 or 4 years. How big is it coming into the season, having that experience now that you're seniors? How has that helped you guys going through the season?
I think it's helped our like communication skills. We're able to, you know, just give each other a look, and we know what we're trying to say. That's how good I think that we've gotten to like know each other.
And coach, how big is it to be senior heavy in a season like this?
You know, they have taken on a lot of the leadership that you would expect when you have a bunch of seniors. But I would say, too, they take a lot of control in practice. They take a lot of control in the games. And, again, as a coach, yeah, I can sit in there and tell them what to correct. But when they start correcting each other and they can all handle it appropriately, it just makes your team that much more dangerous, I think.
And what would you say has been the highlight of your season so far this year? And yep, for you, Nicole.
Oh, me.
Either, well, both of you, actually, but we'll start with Nicole.
Okay. The highlight of my season would probably be just like realizing how supportive like the team was, and like all of our fans, seeing all of our family in the student section just getting excited for us. And I really noticed how excited our team has gotten like on the bench and in the on the court. And I don't know, I feel like I don't have like a very specific highlight of the season. Just overall, it's been an amazing season.
And have you noticed any extra support from the fans due to the year you guys are having?
Yeah, I feel like during home games, especially since we've had more home games this year, we've gotten some more support and fans in the stands.
And coach, tell us a little bit about your last game and how do you think your team performed?
We had a tournament. We had league this last Saturday, and I thought the girls absolutely fought all day long. We came in, with the number one seed, 5-1, tied with Goodland. They were also 5-1. And we had high expectations for ourselves. We've tried to set the bar high and try and reach those. Unfortunately, we did have a couple of injuries throughout the day, so we had to do some lineup changes. And, you know, I think that gave some other girls a chance to step up, a chance to kind of that next man up kind of mentality to come in. I thought my girls that have played all year long did an excellent job of trying to step up too and help each other out and pick each other up. We still had a good day. Our league is very competitive, and I try not to get too caught up on records. We've talked about it, but these girls are just having such a phenomenal season. It's hard to not, you know, every once in a while remind them, you know, to make sure you let the losses go quickly and celebrate the successes as well. We're now, I don't even know, 34 and 5, and that's more wins than we've had since I've been there in 17 years. And again, you wouldn't know it by the way they act. Like, they're just very humble. They're good kids. They come in and they still work hard, and they want to get better every day. And I love that about them.
And with that, we're going to take a break on 10:30 KBUF, actually, for the Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show. And when we return, it's going to be more of Coach Barrett and Nicole Ruda when we return. And we are back on 99.9 The Rock. Derek Dar here with Benjamin Hutchison, head volleyball coach Jennifer Barrett, and senior Nicole Ruda. We were just talking about how Nicole has had over 1,000 kills in her career and how impressive that has been. But just tell us a little bit about what's next for you guys with, I'm presuming, Substate coming up and your expectations for Substate.
It's this Saturday. It'll be at Lakin. Actual official brackets will come out tomorrow, so it's set based on records who we'll see first round. There is one more match being played tonight that could affect one team, but we will see Colby first round at 2 o'clock.
And who do you think, being in that region, is going to be the toughest challenge for you guys?
I think that we have a very strong Substate. Goodland obviously is in our Substate, and then so is Scott City. And so between the three of us, I think it's going to be a very good day of volleyball.
And what's the challenge with having such a good year, but having that's a pretty tough lineup in Substate? How do you make sure your team stays focused and plays their best volleyball?
We're just trying to focus on the step in front of us and not necessarily worrying about, you know, the step that's 10 steps away. We had a good practice today. We had a good talk. We're going to come back in tomorrow and get after it. We have a game plan for the rest of our week. And I think you just need to not get caught up in the big picture, but worry about what's right in front of you first.
And Nicole, what do you think is going to be the key to your team playing their best volleyball on Saturday?
I think just having that communication all day and, you know, just not getting in our heads and just focusing in.
And how's practice been so far coming off of league? What do you think the first 2 days of practice in the week have looked like so far?
We spent some time yesterday watching film. When you play six matches, these girls, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think we got done about 7 o'clock at night, 6:30 at night. That's a long day, and it was six competitive matches. So we give their bodies a break on Monday as well. And so we watched film, and we talked through some things. We kind of came up with a game plan for each young lady. And then, like I said, today we had a good practice. We got in and got after it.
And, Nicole, how would you rate how your team's performed in practice this week so far?
I rate it pretty high. I thought that we focused a little more on passing today, and I thought we did pretty good.
And would you say Goodland's the team you guys are looking ahead to the most in that Substate coming up?
I think we're just taking it one game at a time. We're focusing on Colby right now and then just seeing where it goes after that.
And having 1,000 kills, that kind of by default almost gives you a pretty big leadership role on the team. What's that been like, having that leadership role?
It's definitely been hard at times, but you know, it's just, I don't know, it's when we come into huddles, I feel like everyone just kind of shares their stuff, so we all share leadership roles, but just making sure everyone has their heads up throughout the matches is something that I think I really focus on.
And what was your favorite play of the game from the tournament last Saturday?
Oh, boy. She had a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite one. I mean, there's times where or there's just different plays throughout each game that I think just were good.
And who would you say is probably the other player on your team who you share the leadership role with the most?
I think everyone has their own like leadership throughout the team. We all focus on something different and we're all leaders.
And coach, what was your favorite play from the tournament in the weekend?
Like she said, there was definitely a lot. I do remember there was one play where we had two diving saves on the back row, heart attacks, and then it came back over a third time, and you were able to put it away cross court, and it kind of shanked off the girl's arm. But it was one of those plays where, to me, it was a favorite play because it involved everybody. Like, it took all of us. It took the people on the back row to have the awesome hustle and the defense, and then obviously the transition with our setters and our hitters to keep the ball alive. But, yeah. The girls just, they fought all day long on Saturday. They did a great job.
And with your team only having 5 losses on the season, there's not really a lot of weaknesses to assess, but is there something you've noticed in those 5 losses that your team struggles with and needs to work on improving before sub-state?
You know, I wouldn't say there's like weaknesses. There's obviously things we always want to work on and improve on, and we talk about those things. Probably aren't going to share those on the radio, but I don't feel like the losses we've had this year were losses that we shouldn't have had or couldn't have had. Like, when you go and you play competitive volleyball, a lot of times it could be anybody's day that day, and we've played good teams throughout the season and we've beaten good teams, and then there's been some times where we've lost to some good teams. But I don't think there's anything that the girls or us as coaches should ever or should hang our heads on this year.
And Nicole, what's been your kind of favorite moment from the season so far?
I would have to say coming off a big win, I feel like that's where we like really get together. We go off to the bench and we give each other high fives instead of just like standing in the circle and saying good job. I feel like we're like really connected during those times.
And having such a good record and good season comes with raised expectations. Has that put extra pressure on your team, and how have you dealt with that pressure?
I wouldn't say, or I guess it's added some pressure, but it's nothing that we can't handle. I feel like we use that as motivation. We want to go out there and say, okay, we got this game, you know, like we have a winning record right now, let's keep it.
And how would you compare this team to past Holcomb teams you've had during your time as a Longhorn?
I feel like each team is different, and I've grown up with this team, so, you know, I feel like we all like get each other more than we have in past teams, but I feel like we've all teams have just really been pretty good.
And with such a great year, is a state title the goal for the Longhorns this season?
Definitely.
And is that the same for the coaching staff?
Of course.
And with the season you guys are having, that's definitely every team wants to win a state championship, but it's only a select few that's actually a realistic option for, and that is a realistic option for you guys. Is that something you're not looking ahead to too much, or something you're really focused on?
No, like Nicole said, I think we're trying to keep our mind on what's right in front of us and not allowing the pressure or the expectations to override what we can control. And we talk about controlling our controllables all the time, so controlling our side of the net and controlling how we act and our effort. And again, I think that's what makes this group so special, is they hold each other accountable and they take on those roles, and they do a great job of that.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break on 1030 KBUF, and we will be back with more volleyball talk when we return. And we are back at the Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show on 1030 KBUF. I am Derek Darr, live from Flat Mountain here with Benjamin Hutchison. And we are here with head coach Jennifer Barrett, and we are here with senior Nicole Ruda. And coach, what's it been like having a player like Ruda who has had such a great career? What does that bring to a program?
Oh, I think she sets the bar, and she does her, like I said, she does the little things. She leads by example. She treats people right, and that's why the girls respect her. Like, she's very humble, but she's just the type of kid that you want to have in your program, and then when you have her, you don't want to let her leave. So.
And, Nicole, how do you make sure you set the bar for your teammates and kind of make them live up to their potential?
I think just, like, encouraging them, especially, like, after they make a mistake, you know, just making sure that they're all right and they'll get the next one.
And, Nicole, you got to play with your older sister, Maddie, for a couple of years. What was it like playing with her, and did you gain anything from those experiences that you're using now?
You know, even just, like, watching her, I was just amazed of how good she was, and I always, like, looked up to her, and I wanted to be like her, so I would take, like, little mental notes of everything she did. You know, even though she was a middle, I still watched how she did her approach or went up to hit, how fast her arm swing was, you know, so it was amazing playing with her and just taking notes.
And was it more amazing playing with her or getting to 1,000 kills?
I would have to say playing with Maddie, you know, just being there with my sister, you know, going through all the wins and losses with her, just sharing that experience with her.
And looking back on your career, what have been some of your favorite moments you've had through your career at Holcomb?
I would just have to say the connections that I made throughout the season. Like, when I was a freshman, I only knew my older sister and her friends, and then the girls of my grade, and then I was able to make connections with the upperclassmen that I still keep in contact with today.
And what do you think the biggest win is you've had in your career as a team?
The sub-state game going into the finals last year, I feel like that's when we got the most hype after, you know, just knowing that we got to play in the finals for sub-state.
And who was that against?
Colby.
So playing Colby again, a chance to relive that experience, should be fun. And what grade, coach, would you give your team on the year and how they've played so far?
Grade?
Oh. Yep.
I mean, I would say an A. But like I said, mainly it's because they just do things the right way. They're the type of girls that you want to coach. They're the reason you choose to stay coaching. And they're just, like Nicole said, I almost said Maddie. Like Nicole said, they are so close. Like, they haven't had any issues with each other. It's just made the entire season so much fun. So it's not just the play, it's all of it. It's they've been so much fun to be around and to coach.
So it's been really a special group, and maybe one that's a little different than, not that it's that different from the other Holcomb group you have, but just one that kind of feels special.
They are. They're special. I think because there's 9 of them, not very often do you have 9 seniors. And so just knowing, it's always hard to lose your seniors because you do grow close to them as a coach. You spend so much time together. But when you lose 9 at once, that's a big chunk of your program that you're going to lose.
And Nicole, what do you think your senior class has passed on to the underclassmen?
I hope it's just our, like, positive energy and hard work. You know, they see us working hard in practice and see our positive, even though sometimes it can be a little funny during practice, a little distracting. You know, I hope that they just continue to just enjoy volleyball.
And do you think having that many seniors gives you kind of an advantage over the other teams you play that aren't going to have that experience and haven't been there and done that the way you guys have?
I mean, obviously, like, having so many seniors, we've had more playing time than maybe some other teams, but I think that, you know, we do have other good teams in the league, and it's just all good competition.
And what would you say, do you think your team's playing at a level where if they just keep it up. They're at that kind of state title contender level, or do you think there's another gear your team needs to take it into before state?
No, I think we have a good chance of making it to state this year.
And would you agree with that, Coach?
Yeah, I do. I think the girls have put the time in, and we talked today a lot about, you know, sub-state is an intense pressure situation, and coming in and just training, or trusting their background, trusting the hours that they've put in, and just believing that they're going to be able to have that confidence to go out and perform. And I do think that that helps, having some maturity and some seniority in that sense, because these girls have been in that situation before.
And, yep.
Nicole, your senior year is, it's your senior year, final year of Holcomb. It's coming to a close. When you graduate from Holcomb, how do you want to be remembered at Holcomb?
I want to be remembered by just my dedication that I had for the team, you know, like always just wanting to go 110%. I don't want to be remembered as just someone that kind of went through the motions, I guess.
And what are some of the, you guys have obviously been to sub-state before, what are kind of some of the pitfalls that can come with competing at sub-state and how to avoid them? I guess, what are the challenges that sub-state really presents?
It's just like an intense day. All the teams bring all their student sections and their cheering squad, so it's just like a loud gym, and it can get a little intimidating at times, but you kind of just got to shake it off and remember why you're there and why you want to play.
And do you think your team, having that experience of being used to that environment, whereas some of the other teams may not be, gives you an edge?
I do. I mean, we're kind of used to the loud gyms. I mean, we're kind of loud ourselves during practice, you know, just to prepare for this day. And so I feel like it does give us a little advantage, you know, and I feel like we've talked a lot about just kind of, you know, just focusing on ourselves and play our game.
And you've had a great career at Holcomb. Any closing words for the people at home?
Not that comes to mind.
And Coach, any closing words on just the career that's been had by your player, Nicole?
Yeah, I'm just super proud of her, and she knows that. And she's like I said, she's just one of those kids that you want to see have the successes that she's had, because she is the kid that does things the right way. She treats her teammates correctly. I mean, she's told them thank you multiple times. Like, you know, I wouldn't have gotten my 1,000 kills without my setter and without my passer. And not all kids her age think about that and realize there's the bigger picture too. And like I said, she has definitely dedicated herself and put the hours in and put the practice time in to earn this. And it was really neat to see that all come to be together for her, because she's definitely deserved it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's going to be head coach Kent Teeter talking about that win they had against Pratt. And we are back on the Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show. Derek Darr here, Benjamin Hutchison, and head coach Kent Teeter. How are you doing, Coach?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. I appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. And you guys had probably your biggest win of the year against an excellent Pratt team. Just tell me a little bit about that win.
You're right. It was the biggest win of the year. You know, when you start district playing, we started at week four. We told our players, you know, every game's big. And so to start the season start district play against Nickerson several weeks ago, that was a big win. Then we followed up with a win against Larned. We lost to a good team in Cheney, and so that was going to put the winner between us and Cheney was going to put us in the district lead, so that was a big game. And then Pratt lost to Cheney as well the week before we did, so we knew coming into this week that Pratt was the team to beat to try to take over the second seed. And the second seed in our district gets a home playoff game. You know, third and fourth seeds get to go on the road. But so we knew it was a big game. And so our kids really stepped up for it, and it was an awesome night Friday night.
And Pratt's one of the top teams in 3A, and you guys took it to them, beating them by 20 points. Did you guys expect to take it to them the way you did?
Yeah, well, you never know what to expect. You know, they're running a different offense. It was a single-wing offense that hardly anybody runs. I mean, Ulysses started running it this year, so it's an older-style offense that we hadn't seen for a long time. You know, I've been coaching for 30 years, and I've never played against a single-wing team, you know, out of all the years I've been coaching. The good thing is Holcomb did play Meade before I got here, and Meade used to run the single wing. So we had some coach, you know, Coach Homer's our defense coordinator, and he got to play against Meade. And Jerry Johnson used to be the former head coach here, and he's coaching still. And so those guys had some experience with that. So, you know, we put together a game plan that we thought would be really good. And then, you know, you go out there and you just never know. And our kids executed really well.
Coach Pratt, coming into that game, other than the Cheney game, was averaging 50 points a game. What did you do defensively to slow them down?
Well, we didn't let them score 50 points. All right. Well, no, like I said, the defensive coaches, they did an excellent job. We lined up a little bit different. They used the experience that they had, you know, with Meade. You know, Coach Hill used to be our defense coordinator, so he's still around, so we pick his brain some as well. But our kids knew that, you know, we gave up some size. And so our kids knew that we're just have to gonna be really aggressive. You know, normally we run a 4-2-5 defense, and most of the teams that we play are some type of spread or will run something different than the single wing. But we needed to put 11 guys in there to stop the run. You know, Levi Knowles, our safety, and you usually don't have your safety being one of our leading tacklers, but we dropped him a little bit lower, and he was our leading tackler for the night. But everybody got involved. And then we were really scared about the run or about the passing game since we were so committed to the run. And the big word that we talked about was being disciplined with our eyes and reading receivers and that. And our kids did a great job of that. We came away with 2 interceptions. So just the kids really executed the plan really, really well.
Kate Johnson had a really good game, threw a pick six early in the game, bounced back. What's it like having a senior that's able to make a mistake like that early and then just bounce back and put it off?
Well, you know, he's had a couple pick sixes, so he's learned from some of those things as far as, hey, you have to forget about that play and move on to the next, you know. And that's happened a couple times this year. And you know, when you throw the ball, you're going to have interceptions. If you run the option, you're going to have some fumbles. And so by as much as we throw the ball, we are going to have some interceptions down then and sacks and some things like that. But one thing that he's done, he's matured to where he knows that I forget about that. I need to forget about that play. He is kind of a perfectionist because I coach my son as a quarterback, and all those quarterbacks think they can throw, make every pass, and they try to be perfect, and you just can't be perfect, and sometimes you have to take a tackle or throw the ball away and to live another down, and so how he responded after that was just huge, because we wouldn't have done what we did if he wouldn't have.
And there was some talk earlier in the year about how maybe Pratt would be one of the worst matchup for you guys, since they have so much size up front and they like to just do power run, how that could present problems. But it ended up not turning out that way. How were you guys able to kind of overcome those challenges they presented matchup-wise?
Well, I think in football a lot of times it's your heart, the size of your heart. So we did give up some size. We asked Kai Cosner to take on their blocking back. Kai Cosner weighs about 175 pounds, and their sniffer back weighed 240 pounds. And there's times he absolutely took him on and de-cleated him and played exceptionally well. You know, Race Artery picked the guy up, and you know, I'm not trying to tell them to be nasty or anything like that, but we were just extremely physical. Their offensive line coach was a guy that I coached with in Hayes, and the one thing he said after the game, he goes, "You guys were just so much more physical than we were." And that's what we talked about all week long, was that we have to be physical, we got to take on blocks and play low, and the guys did a great job with that.
And was the team playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after coming up short against one of the top teams in the state, against in Cheney? This is their chance to kind of have a redemption moment against one of the other top teams in the state.
Without a doubt, one of the goals of the seniors was we want to play another home playoff game. last year we got a home playoff game and we didn't play very well and against Clearwater, and we lost that first round, and one of their goals was to be in the top two in the district and play a playoff game, but not only play it, but win it. So that's one of their goals. That and so we're on track to do that. So, you know, Coach Bear was talking about, you know, and Nicole, take them one game at a time. Ours is no different, because right now we're in a scenario to where we're not guaranteed a home playoff game. If Hugoton upsets us and then Pratt gets upset, then we're the three seed and we're going to go on the road. So every game that we've played is there's a lot of meaning behind it. And so, but we're on track to play that home playoff game. We just need to take care of business.
Friday night, you saw everybody play their roles very well, especially on two of your touchdown throws. Your running backs picked up key blocks.
Yes.
To open those up. What do you say in practice, or is that just those guys stepping up that, hey, I'm not going to get to carry the ball here, but if I pick up this block, it'll score us a touchdown?
We talked a lot this last week about being unselfish throughout a lot of different positions. You know, your offensive line are always, you know, unselfish, and those are the guys that, you know, don't always get the credit, but our running backs, we ask them to not only run the ball but block. We ask our receivers to block as well, and we work on that a lot. But the word unselfish came up a lot. We ask our D-line to not look for the tackle right away, but to defeat your guy right across from you and then look for the tackle, and they did that. So our, you know, Monday when we addressed them as a team yesterday, we just said the biggest thing that you guys did was you played unselfish. The team meant more to you than the individual stuff, and so really proud of them for that.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break on 1030 KBUF. This is a Holcomb Longhorn show at Flat Mountain. We'll be right back. And we are back with the Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show. Derek Darr here with Benjamin Hutchison and Coach Teeter. And we were just talking about the victory over Pratt, and now we're going to be playing some highlights.
Just a minute, my computer froze.
Well, there we go. But well, there we go. Oh, here it is.
Maybe.
Well, there's plenty.
There's a snap to Caden. Here comes the rush. He's going to let it fly down the middle of the field. Damon Mason at the 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Longhorn.
That was a pretty special one. You know, there's a couple things that we put in where he's got multiple receivers, and he just has to read it. And Damon came wide open and ran a good route, had made a great catch, and that was pretty big play for us at that time.
There's a handoff to Cosner running to the right, trying to get the corner turned. He does. Inside the 25-20, breaks the tackle at the 20, 10-5, touchdown, Longhorns.
You know, Kai Cosner's had some really big plays this year has gotten in the end zone several times. That was another play where Caden reads his defensive end. We don't block him, and if he does one thing, he hands off. If he does another thing, he pulls it and keeps it. But handed off to Cosner. We had great perimeter blocking on the edges and got in the end zone. So another huge play right after they had scored.
Caden Johnson gets the snap, steps up. Throws deep down the middle of the field looking for Damon Mesa. He hauls it in at the 45, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Longhorns.
You know, there's times I put in kind of not, I wouldn't say trick plays, but special plays. And it was the exact same play that we'd ran before. I thought, well, if it works once, it might work again. But you never know because teams make adjustments. But we thought, okay, we'll give it a shot again.
Two guys again in the backfield have their hands out. Hamey gets it. He's going to pass right down the middle. And Levi Knoll jumps up and picks it off.
Levi had two really big interceptions, and that was one of them. One was, you know, really close to the end zone. Another one was to stop a drive. And so that's where I said that they were very disciplined this week on putting their eyes where they needed to be and reading their keys. And so Levi just has been a great player for us for several years.
Caden Johnson gets the snap, rolls to his right, sets up. He's going to let it fly down the sideline for Damon Mesa, makes the catch just outside the end zone, spins into the end zone, touchdown.
And, you know, that was a play where it was actually fourth down and we had taken some penalties and it was like fourth and 20. I was contemplating punting, But we were close enough to where to go for it, but I actually ran a play thinking that the curl might be open, and just to get it far enough to where it makes them – I didn't really think we'd score on that play, so that just shows you, you know, what happens sometimes. But, you know, it's just great execution by our kids and a great read by Caden, and we found the end zone when we really didn't think we would at that time.
Johnson gets the snap, hands to Levi Knoll. Knoll's got an open hole, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Longhorns.
And we don't run a two-back set very often, but when we're close to the goal line, we Colby's a really good blocker. He, you know, he runs the ball. He actually has more carries than anybody this year and more yards. But when we get close to the end zone, he's a really good hard-nosed blocker, and it allowed Levi to get in the end zone. So, once again, those were key plays at the time of the game.
And coach, talk about Damon Mesa, seven receptions, 191 yards, three touchdowns, and then 10 yards rushing, so over 200 yards offensively. Talk about Damon Mesa and how he stepped up for you.
Yeah, he did. You know, he started last year on the offensive side as a freshman, and this year is his sophomore, so you know, there's a lot of times you're not starting very many sophomores, but, you know, he got to play a lot of varsity basketball last year. He qualified for state in the 100, so he's just a gifted athlete. And, you know, there's been times this year we've said, hey, we need to get him a few more touches and that type of thing. And it just worked out. You know, we run routes where they're read routes, and you really don't know who you're going to throw to because we base those off of what the defense does. And he happened to be the recipient of that and just had a great game. I think he had seven catches and stepped up really big. And this year he's playing an inside linebacker spot. So, you know, he's not getting very many plays off, and he's had a really neat season so far.
And who do you think's been the defensive player of the game for you guys?
Oh, of this game, we gave it to Kai Cosner. Kai Cosner he was one of our leading tackles. Every week we give a defensive player the game, and sometimes you can give it to multiple people, and sometimes we do. But the one thing that Kai did was we needed him to help seal the edge on their run game. They run a lot of power, which is right off tackle, and we needed him, and we challenged him to take on, you know, a lot of times he was taking on that 240 pounds sniffer back, and he did, and he just blew him up a lot of times. So Kai Cosner became the recipient of that. You know, we could have given it to Levi Knoll because he was our leading tackler, and Pratt had averaged a lot of big plays, and their biggest play on our defense was for 20 yards. And so our speed in that game, and that's the strength of our defense, is we just have a lot of speed. We don't have a lot of size, but we have a lot of speed. But Kai Cosner just stepped up and played a really special game on defense.
And who would you say was the unit that impressed you more, the offense or the defense? Normally when you put 40 on the board and allow 20, you give it to the offense. But when that 20 is allowed against an offense that normally puts up 50, that might change the conversation a little bit.
Well, I'm an offensive guy, so I'm always going to give it to the offense. And if you think about that, eight points of that came from an interception. So our defense really only gave up, you know, 12 points. And so, you know – old coaches have said this, hey, offense puts people in the stands if you look fancy, but your defense wins state, you know, championships. So there's no doubt that both units played really well. Our special teams played well. And so to have the kind of outcome that we did, both units, they tied. I'll be political. They tied for being best.
And how much of a confidence booster can that be for your team, where they stand in the 3A state title hunt?
Well, it is. And it's like, you know, Coach Barrett and Nicole were saying on volleyball, you got to take one game at a time, because we don't want to go to Hugoton and not play well and possibly get upset. Then you got a sour taste in your mouth. And so, you know, you prepared. You know, one of the biggest things of our goals is to get better every week. You know, there's things you can get better at. You know, today we worked on a little bit of perimeter blocking. You know, we're always working on inside blocking. We're always working on our read keys. We're always working on defensive technique. You know, today we were working on squeezing and scraping with our D-line and run fits and reading your keys and how to play the pass. And so each week you just, you know, you hope that you're just getting better and better. And in football, you know, being injury-free is a big thing. You know, both years when we won, you know, state championships, we were pretty much injury-free. And so that takes a big part of it. So you have to be careful with that. But if we can just continue to get better each week and then have the focus, the energy, the enthusiasm, the attitude, the discipline that it takes and to be a good teammate to each other, then we're going in the right track.
And the last couple of weeks, you've had some injuries and had some guys have to be that next man up.
Yep.
How big is it for you to have guys willing to step up and then make big plays in that next man up?
It's been big, and we even started the year with that. You know, Alex Rodriguez was a linebacker last year. He got hurt. He missed the first few games, but we didn't have as much depth on the D-line, so we asked him to go play D-line, and he did that. Tristan Nortner's another one. He was a linebacker as well, and we said, hey, we need another defensive end, and he's they both have relished those and have taken them on head on, and they both have been really, really good players. You know, Race hasn't played a ton of defense this year. He's always played on offense, but, you know, with Chris Harris out for a week, you know, Ray stepped in and did a great job. J.P. Layers, he came in and started in place of Nick Almaraz on the offensive line. Drayden Knoll, the freshman, even got in and played some. And so it's one of those things. Hey, you get an opportunity, and they're getting to play JV games each week. And so, you know, we've always said this, when kids can start dominating in JV, they're ready for varsity, and that's what those guys have done. And so they stepped up and did a really good job.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break on 1030 KBUF, and we're going to talk about how the Longhorns match up against the Hugoton Eagles when we return. And we are back with the Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show. Derek Darr here with Benjamin Hutchison and head coach Teeter. But how would you say you got a big game coming up against Hugoton? They're 4-3 on the season, a pretty solid squad. And how would you say your team's approaching this Hugoton game?
Well, I was up front with them from the very beginning, and the fact that if we don't win and if Pratt loses, we're the 3 seed. And we're either going to go to Wichita Collegiate or Andale. But if we win this game, and, you know, we don't want to count on Pratt winning just to us to make sure we have a home playoff game. So, and we don't want that sour taste in our mouth of not playing well. So we're you know, up front with them from the beginning, and let's go prepare. I did tell them I feel like we're the more talented team. I think we have more talent than they do, and that's just my personal opinion, and I think we are the better team. You can look at scores and compare scores, but those don't always mean anything. You know, they lost to Cheney, a good team. They lost to Pratt, a good team, and so they beat Ulysses, and so they beat Nickerson, they beat Larned, so they've had some good wins. We're going to play at their place. You know, we've had a history of playing Hugoton. They've been in our league since I've been here, and they always play us well. And, you know, part of the reason I tell Coach Cornelson we hired him was we played Payton, and he had 20 tackles his sophomore year, so we hired his dad to be our grounds guy, and so we got him in. So, but now Hugoton is – there's a little bit of chippiness between us, and we know Hugoton's going to play hard and play well, and so we have to counteract that just like we did last week.
And I actually got to see Hugoton play earlier in the year. I filled in for Kevin Watkins when they played Guymon, Oklahoma. But they're kind of a team that they have a pretty talented offense, but their biggest downfall is their penalties. And talking to Kevin as well, he said that was a struggle in their games at the beginning of the season. Is that something you can take advantage of, an offense that has talent but has some penalty issues?
Well, You know, Coach Barrett talked about it, you worry about yourself, and that's what we have to do. If they have penalties, that's awesome. If they have turnovers, that's awesome. That will only help us out, but we can't count on that. And, you know, they may come in and play a perfect game. And nobody plays a perfect game, but they may come in and play really well, you know, and we have to combat that with us playing well. And so so the biggest thing is us taking care of them. You know, they're a lot like us. You know, they will spread it out. They're in shotgun like us. They'll empty to no backs, and they'll run trip sets. They'll run some of the tight end sets like we do. We're both kind of multiple offensive type offenses, and then defense they're similar. They run a little bit of a 4-2-5 like us, and so They're not afraid to throw it. They've got some good receivers. That every once in a while, they'll go two backs in the backfield, and they will use a second quarterback. They're a little bit predictable on that, so when number eight comes in, it's all run so far. But they may have something, you know, planned just for us. So what we need to do is just make sure we take care of ourselves.
And is this a game where you can almost throw the records out the window due to that familiarity between the two schools and how similar they are to you?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, we both are going to play hard, and, you know, they know for sure that they can't be the two seed based on points. Well, they could be the two seed. I take that back. And so any of us could end up – well, Pratt, I don't think, can be the two seed, but they're going to play hard. And it's, you know, their last home game, regular season home game, and so you know they're going to get after it, and we have to be ready for that.
And what would you say the biggest challenge Hugoton presents to you as a team is?
Well, offensively, they have a 6'4" receiver that he's not extremely fast, but he's a really good target. Number eight is a really good athlete for him. We think he's probably the best athlete that they have on both sides of the ball. He's the one that comes in and will run the ball from a quarterback position. They'll give him the ball passing wise. They mix it up, you know. They're just not one-dimensional. A little bit like what Pratt was, to where, you know, we knew 95% of the time Pratt was running the ball, whereas Hugoton will throw the ball 60% of the time and run 40% of the time. Our JVs did play. It's kind of weird because most of the time you play your varsity games first and your JV the next Monday. Well, we just played Hugoton's JV yesterday and came with a win. So it gave us a good look at what they're doing JV wise as well. But then defensively, I think they run to the ball really well. And so when you run to the ball really well, you have a chance to force turnovers and make things happen. So we have to be sound in a lot of different things.
And it's going to be a senior night for them. Does that factor in at all in terms of what you expect to see from them?
Well, I think teams that play with high energy and emotion can help them at times. Sometimes it might hurt you if you have too much emotion, but it'll factor in. You know, their team that, you know, may feel like they don't have anything to lose. We have to be ready for onside kicks. We have to be ready for fake punts. We have to be ready for, you know, trick plays. We've seen some trick plays that they've shown, and they've done some in the past. So we have to be on guard and have to be focused and be ready for anything that they might be able to throw at us.
You guys played against Nickerson and Cheney, both teams who like to air the ball out. Does that help you defensively prepare for a game like this?
Yeah, I think so. And even at the beginning of the year when we're practicing against ourselves before we start looking at other teams. And so our guys are not afraid to go play against teams that spread it out. So without a doubt, I think that has prepared us to play in a game like this.
And you've played several teams who do onside and trick plays. Does that also help you just mentality-wise? You've seen it this season, so you're ready for it again?
Well, it may help us out that we've seen it, but emotionally, and it's added a few years to my life, because every time someone kicks off that does that, my breath is held, you know, and so I might pass out from that. But no, we've got some experience with that. So you never know. That ball is not round, so it doesn't always, you know, roll the right way. It's got some funny bounces sometimes, so it can help you and it can hurt you.
And a lot of times over the last several years, this game versus Hugoton has finalized seeding. How big is it that this continues to be the last game where you're playing Hugoton, a rival, to kind of finalize seeding? Does your seniors have experience with this, or does that help or anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have 10 seniors and they've got the experience of that. And, you know, we've been on the bad side of that. We've been on the good side of it. So we've seen both sides of that in the last several years with Hugoton. And so it is a big game. And like we say, all of our district games are big games. You kind of use those first early ones on to learn what you can do and gain confidence, hopefully. And then your district games, they're all important for that seeding purposes. And, again, we go back to that goal. One of our goals is to win a home playoff game, and a win against Hugoton guarantees us a home game.
And what would you say the most important thing is to do to not let a win like Pratt almost have you riding into Hugoton too high? And does it help that they're a district team and that it really need to secure that home playoff game to prevent that from happening?
Yeah, you know, Monday I said, hey, what's everybody been telling you this whole weekend? What a great game. Hey, we played really well. I said, you're all hearing all the good things, but now you got to forget about that, you know. And then we didn't have a really good practice tonight. It was okay, but it wasn't as good as it needed to be. And as coaches, we didn't bring as much intensity. So we felt like maybe, you know, for another day, we need to let them, hey, calm down and not to get up too high. Because there's times you can get up too high during the middle of the week, and then you burn a little bit too much energy, you know, towards the end of the week, and we don't want that, you know, talking about taking care of their bodies and all those type of things. So it is a big game, and we don't need to be ready for it until Friday, but we're in the process of getting ready for it each and every day.
And with that, I think we're going to wrap up our show on 1030 KBUF. Thank you for everyone who listened, and that's it for your Holcomb Longhorns Coaches Show.